for the benefit of those with flash photography.
Hello, welcome to Dreamwork, the only podcast where it's a tag team talking about tag team wrestling. As always, I am Colin Delaney. In a moment, I'll be joined by my tag team partner, Cheech. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking with us. No podcast last week, as some of you may have noticed, and some of you probably know. We just weren't in the mental space last week to do one. This week we still don't discuss how we're feeling or any of that. I don't think either of us are really ready, so we don't, and that's fine. But we do have what we meant to do last week, a little year in review, a little to infinity and beyond year in review. 2020 was a weird year for basically everybody in the world, and it is definitely a weird year in wrestling. So me and Cheech go back and talk about every tag team match we had in 2020. And we had some great ones, so it was fun to kind of dive back in and talk about them. But as I say to him in the beginning of this thing, I guess that makes the tag team this week us? So, yeah. Without further ado, I guess 2020 to infinity and beyond. That's the team. Let's listen.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's up, pal?
Oh, you can hear me. Nice.
Yes, I can. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. How are you?
You know, it's 2021. It's a new year. Trying to, you know, look up, I guess, on things.
Yeah, it feels weird to have not talked to you last week.
Yeah, you know, we had a week off. It happens.
Yeah, quick week off, but a needed, a necessary week off. So this is an episode we were planning on doing last weekend, and the tag team is ourselves, question mark?
Basically, yeah, I figured let's cover our illustrious 2020 that, you know, we had this year.
Yeah, so Cheech made a good point that usually when we watch matches to record a podcast, we watch, you know, 10, 12, maybe a few more matches of a team. And in 2020, we basically had probably about 10 to 12 matches, so why not use this as a little 2020 recap.
Plus, I figure, you know, who has a better eye and you know, a certain inner working know-how of our 2020 better than ourselves?
I guess so. I would love to hear two other people break down our 2020, actually.
Oh, poor people. But no, us. I figure, you know, it's the end. It's a whole transition. End of 2020, we're starting 2021. We're still kind of in a bit of lockdown wrestling-wise. So let's cover what we had in 2020.
Yeah. Once again, you've got me on this. I don't know what to do as far as format, but I've got our cage match pulled up, so I figure we just start from the beginning.
Sure, let's do it. Now, wait, okay. First, a preliminary question that I wanted to ask was, like, okay, let's put it out there. I looked at mine. I had 14 matches in the year of 2020. Did you have more or less than me?
I had more than you.
Okay, that's what I usually is the case, but I was just wondering.
Not many, but yes, I had 16 in all.
Wow, okay. Yeah, no, I had 14, because I had a couple shows without you. But, no, yeah, let's get to the team of True Infinity and beyond.
Oh, do you have it pulled up as well?
Well, I just have, literally, I have my calendar book.
Oh, so you know what our first tag team match of the year was?
Uh, Yeah. It would be February 7th for AIW, am I correct?
That is correct. We are it's so weird because those matches from pre-pandemic almost seem like a different year.
Yeah, right? It's so weird when we're covering this because I was like, oh, or just the weird, like, yes, that point, and the also just the weird time warp that it was of going, oh, yeah, that was in 2020, wasn't it? You know what I mean? There's that moment, too.
Yeah, there's at least, so not even this one that I forgot was this year, but there's two coming up that I was like, oh, those were this year?
Yeah, it was, yeah, right, but like, yeah, I agree that everything pre-pandemic seems like something totally different, and then I just think the year as a whole was just like, especially once we got into the pandemic, just felt like some weird Groundhog Day.
Yeah, and not for nothing, if this is the 16, or whatever, I had 16 matches, you had 14, we have got like 10 or 12 tag matches, if these are the 10 or 12 we had in a year with a pandemic where we barely wrestled, we had some bangers.
Yeah, no, that was the thing. Looking back, I was like, you know, it wasn't like there are ways to look at it as a positive year. You know what I mean? It's not all negative. I'll put it that way.
No, absolutely, for sure. And so it starts with AIW Tag Team Title Number One Contendership 4-Way. If you remember, this match was to go to Tampa to wrestle PME for the tag titles.
Yes, it was. And I remember you were like, hey, wear this tank top and these sunglasses, you know, because we're already ready to go to Tampa. I was like, all right, fine. I just, like, no questions asked. I was just like, okay, cool, I'll do it.
That's right. I packed two Florida tank tops and some extra pairs of sunglasses because we were headed to Florida. We already had that one in the bag. But heavy competition, 40 acres, the AJ Gray, Trey Lamar version, Aeroform. Flip Kendrick and Lewis Linden, and the young Bitcoin boys before they were Bitcoin men.
Yeah. And Bitcoin boys with them had the Duke, and 40 Acres had Pee Wee Smooth.
Yes. Yeah, which gets a little dicey later. So, true story, I won my first AIW tag team title from Aeroform.
That makes sense. I was going to say, like, when we were going over the teams, I was like, and then there's Aeroform, who've always just been, like, an always just solid, good there tag team that's been around. And I go, you've definitely tangled with them. I've tangled with them. And now together we've tangled with them.
Yeah. So with Jimmy, I am a five-time tag champ now?
No, I think you're six, because I think we're five, and then you have one with Jimmy. I know that.
Whew. That's a lot. We'll get to that. But, yeah, the first one, my first tag team title victory is, I believe, from Aeroform, so familiar foes, and we wrestled the Bitcoin boys. I am excited for 2021 to wrestle the Bitcoin men.
Well, I mean, they're still boys to us, but yeah, they can say what they want. But yeah, I would look forward to it. I mean, you know, they're young up-and-comers. I can beat up on them. I got no problem with that, and it'll piss off the Duke, which is always fun.
But they are young enough. You pointed this out to me when we saw them in Indianapolis. They are young enough that between February and what was the first the next AIW show,
September.
February and September, they literally both grew up into different looking people.
Yeah, it was so funny. I was like, wow, when 6 months for guys that young is a big chunk of their lives. So they look like the one, not Mikey, the other one, Eric, looked, I believe, he looked, I was like, oh, look, you grew up, you got old. Like, I almost didn't even recognize him.
They both looked older. I was like, holy crap, look at these Bitcoin men. But yes, the Bitcoin men, the 40 Acres, and the Aeroform, we come out on top. I've recently watched the match. The team of AJ Gray and Trey Lamar is like, shouldn't work, but works.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's you know, 40 Acres is a squad, but they don't, it's not like, they're not like the most well-oiled squad, but man, they wrestled like a well-oiled squad here.
Yeah, no, they definitely brought it. That was the one thing, like, because the match was to go to Tampa, everybody was extra amped up. And, like, I don't know, even though, like, it was just the February show, I don't know, it felt like it was a big show, right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was to go to Tampa. I think there was maybe one show between that and the proposed Tampa trip.
Yeah, so they definitely brought it. Now, one thing I remembered oddly, because I had seen this recently, one thing that stuck out, like, I remember when I watched it, I go, it's funny when you watch it, you'd think, because there's an interaction between PB and Duke in there, and, like, it almost leads to, like, when the match is done, you're like, oh, okay, we're going to Tampa, and it almost looks like there's, like, friction or whatever between, like, the Bitcoin boys and 40 Acres. And I was like, it's so funny that that easily, I don't know if it is or not, like, could become a program. And that was literally just because we were like, oh, we got to do something with the managers. You know what I mean? I was like, how many times have, like, I wonder, have, like, great feuds started over, like, just a match where they were like, oh, we need something to kill 30 seconds, and you've got a manager, and I've got a manager. Oh, okay, we'll have them wrestle for no reason. And then, oh crap, look, now we could roll something out of it. Like, you know what I mean? As I watch it, I go, oh, that was a good match. And I go, oh, they could probably run with that feud if they want. I go, and that literally came out of thin air.
Yeah, it did. It was a good it was a good almost ECW style tag finish, but not quite, you know?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because, like, if you know what I mean, like, those are two ginormous chess pieces in a match that, you know, eventually had to be used. So, yeah, they got involved. But I remember just watching them going, like, oh, they could probably, because, like you had said, 40 Acres brought it. Like, I don't know where they stand, but the crowd was definitely like, wow, this is a good tandem. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that was. I don't know if they were that kind of over on shows before that in AIW, but man, were they over that night?
Yeah. It was a heck of a match. I enjoyed
They
it.
were
And
pumped.
yeah, I thought it was great because, like, yeah, it was a big match because it was going towards Florida, which was an even bigger match. And then I just felt like the match also delivered. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure. I remember not liking it when we had it, but then watching it back, it's a lot of fun.
I just remember that many guys sometimes, and that was one of those times where it was just like pull in teeth.
Yeah. So the next match we had this year, I did not remember.
Oh, okay, the one that happened the next night.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that would be at Revenge Pro. It was me and you versus the production, which was Eddie Only and Derek Director. Was it them two? Okay, and then the team of, they have a team name, but it's Kevin Bennett and Vinnie Moon.
The Remix Family.
Okay, yeah, because they're cousins or something, right?
Right.
Ah, yes. So yeah, you had forgotten about this one. I could see that just because, like, I don't know, that weekend felt a little bit like a blur. I was like, oh, we had a double shot. I go, oh, okay. And I go, and I and like I could remember it in separate pieces, but I was like, I don't quite remember it all together.
No, I 100%, and even right now, trying to recollect, I just watched that AIW tag match, so it's a bit fresher, but I still remembered it even, before that. This match, I got nothing on. I we won again. That's a 2-0 weekend for us.
Yeah. I remember it was a good match too, because you know what I mean? Like, we have wrestled the production a little bit, and then we've both wrestled Bennett and Moon before in Western New York dealings.
I think that might be the first time I ever wrestled Vinnie Moon.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Then maybe it was just me. I've wrestled him like at least two or three times, I believe.
I don't think I ever tangled with Vinnie Moon in anything except for this three-way tag. Three-way. So the match the night before is a four-way tag. This next night is a three-way tag, and it may not seem that much different, but it is.
Yes, it definitely is. It definitely is. Wasn't quite as much pulling teeth, but because there's just less people you have to worry about. But it did. It is odd, just because honestly, like you'd think once again, it doesn't quite make sense. It's an odd number. You know what I mean? Like a four-way singles match is easier than a three-way singles match.
Yes, and even though there are six guys in a three-way tag, it's still three teams.
I know. I was gonna say. I was like, yes. And I was gonna say. I know the math that yes, it's not quite even because it's three teams of two and that's six. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, 100%. So we 2-0 on that weekend. That was our first tag weekend of the year, kicking off February strong. And then we followed that up the next weekend against the Natural Destroyers.
Yes,
at Immortal.
Immortal Championship Wrestling in Central New York, basically. And yeah, I had seen this one recently, and I was surprised in two things. A, it was not better than I thought, but I just thought it was highly enjoyable. And second, it was quicker than I thought. You know what I mean? I don't know why. In my mind, thinking back, I thought, like, oh, we put in some time, and I watched it. I was like, oh, it was a pretty quick. I think it was like 10 to 12, if that.
Yeah, Cage Match has us clocked in at 10 minutes and 29 seconds.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But that match, okay, I'll speak for me at least. I was definitely worried because I was like, okay, these are younger guys who are big and strong as hell. And, like, Sullivan is just a scary individual with his suplexes and what he's done to people. And I've seen it, and I was like, ooh, doggy. But I will give them their due. He definitely stepped up. And, like, I was worried, and I had nothing to be worried about. TK was a younger guy. He was a little forgetful. But, like, once again, they handled their end, so I had no real complaints. What about you?
Well, I, going into it, was less worried. I personally know that I work well with bigger guys like that.
Okay.
So walking into a situation like that, that's kind of my element for the most part. I've got a lot of tools in the belt for situations like that, I would say. So I wasn't really worried. And I remember watching it not too long after it happened, and being very pleased with everything, pretty much. It is quicker than I remember it being. I think we shenanigans a bit, though, right?
Not really. For the most part, I think we got to it because, you know, they were bigger guys. You couldn't shenanigans too much.
Yeah, that's true. And that match prepared us for the following weekend.
Yes, definitely did. It definitely did because, yeah, then we had another set of big men when we were in lovely, jolly old Rochester, New York for ESW came into town, and we got to wrestle Bear Country, another set of big men, which, okay, now you've scratched an itch in my brain. It's weird because, okay, I also, not I wouldn't say it's my forte per se, but, like, I have no problem wrestling big guys, but I have no problem wrestling tall big guys. You know what I mean? Like, in this match, me and Bear Boulder go at it quite a bit, and I have no problem with a tall guy. I don't know. Something about, like, a short, stocky guy like Sullivan scares me more than, like, a tall 6 foot. Like, you know what I mean? If you're 5'10 and 300 pounds, I'm more scared of you than if you're 6'3 and 300 pounds. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's me, I guess.
It makes sense. The weight is more compact in an area.
Yeah, and then Sullivan's just a shooter, man. Like, I've seen him just throw dudes literally on their forehead. So I'm just like, I don't know. Bear Boulder and Bronson, you know, I've seen them, you know, crush people, smush people. Didn't necessarily look like they maimed people, per se. You know what I mean?
Well, that was our second go-around with Bear Country because we wrestled them in 2019 at Beyond on an uncharted territory.
But now they were on our goddamn territory, those little cocksuckers. All right, they were in Rochester, our town, and we kicked their ass this time. Even though, oh boy, yeah, did they smush the hell out of me with that tandem cannonball. Whew! Like, if I had anything in me, it was coming out of all ends of me. But luckily, I was clean. I was clean.
That something about that building in Fairport here in Rochester that ESW runs, we can't do anything but crush it there. We wrestled Private Party in 2019 at that same building and tore the roof off. And then this match is absolutely no different.
Yeah, man, this match is fun. And what I like about it is the fun wrinkle of, okay, so it's a local show that's heavily promoted. So for Bear Country, they have the local comedian in their corner, and then we've got local good guy and former, I think, champion, at least, around the area. We had Big Cat in our corner. So I don't know, there was just that also weird curveball of like, oh yeah, and you guys also have special managers. It was like, okay then, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we brawled around a little bit. We got to the getting. I Doomsday devised Bronson off Boulder's shoulders, and Bronson almost died.
Oh, did he almost die? Landed right on the top of his head. Ooh, baby.
I watched this one back not too long ago, and I must have watched that specific Doomsday device 4 or 5 times in a row.
Okay, the thing I keep watching is them squishing me with the two-man cannonball in the corner, just because I was like, how did I survive?
Yeah, and at one point in the match, one of my favorites, I do almost that ref cell where I bounce off the top rope, second rope, and bottom rope after getting punched.
Yeah, no, it was a heck of a contest. Probably one of our better matches. It's definitely up there for one of our better matches of the year. And, like, yeah, once again, like I said, like you said, I enjoyed that it was in Rochester. You also brought up that, yeah, there's something about that building. But, yeah, they were on our territory, so they went down. It happened. We beat them. The crowd went bonkers. It was great. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, so you say that that was one of your favorites of the year. Our next tag match together is one of my favorites of the year when we wrestle Alex Reynolds and John Silver, the Dark Order, at Excite.
I of course, liked it. And then, you know me, I love Excite because the shows are in a mall, so I get to go shopping in a mall.
That is true. Excite runs at the Oakdale Mall in Johnson City, New York. It's basically Binghamton. But yeah, big main event. Us against Alex Reynolds and John Silver.
Now, okay, had you wrestled that team before?
No.
Okay, I've oddly wrestled them before in Florida when I teamed with Mike Cruz for Evolve. And then I think we may have wrestled them twice or something that weekend or something, because I feel like I'd wrestled them twice before that. And then we did wrestle them in AIW in what a...
Oh, right. I totally forgot.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, okay, but pre that, you really hadn't had any dealings with them, right? Okay, so I had dealt with them more than you had. Okay, that's just what I had wanted to establish.
I wrestled John Silver one-on-one at a Beyond show at FET one time.
Oh, okay. Had I run into him maybe in a scramble, but not that I know of. But yeah, so this was kind of cool that it was somewhat fresh. I mean, yes, we had worked him in AIW, but that was like, that was one of our first tag matches as a team. So this, what, 3, 4, maybe even 5 years later was way different, even for them as well, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure. And they're doing the Dark Order thing now. Early on in 2020, this is early on in their Dark Order ways, but they already had, they had some new stuff from this Dark Orderness.
Okay, funny thing I remember as you're bringing up. Okay, so they're in the Dark Order, and now you got to think at the time. Here's a timestamp. There were some smarky fans who kept making Matt Hardy overtures because that was the big hot rumor that the Exalted One, the higher power or whatever, was going to be Matt Hardy. So, like, I just remember that while you were saying, like, oh, yeah, Dark Order. Yeah, now they're in the Dark Order. I was like, oh, yeah, well, there's some annoying fan kept going, wonderful or whatever, and all that crap. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's because at that time they were Dark Order, and they thought it was going to be Matt Hardy's thing. So that messed things up. Thanks, fans, for being douchey.
That happened. Yeah, the Dark Order reveal is 2 weeks after that.
Yeah, so yeah, it was quite an odd time. And yeah, they were still, even they weren't quite sure what was going on being in the Dark Order. It was all new to them as well. And yeah, we got to tussle with them because, oh, okay, now it's coming back to me. We were beating them to eventually wrestle Evil Uno and Stu Grayson, right? That was supposedly what was supposed to happen before everything got locked down, right?
Yes, that was, I guess, the eventual build. Not to ruin anybody's day by spoiling what could have been. Because that's probably the worst part about Pandemic, when you talk about things that were supposed to happen.
But we can't not discuss it. That's one of the biggest things about 2020 is all the lost things we didn't get to do. But at this point, it's hilarious. At this time, you know, we have no idea. Everything's going normal. We're like, oh, we've got this match will lead to the next match. All right, we're rocking and rolling. It's 2020. Things are going good. It's early on. All right, it's only March. Cool. Because literally, wow, this is crazy. Because I'm looking because, okay, the next weekend we had Upstate Pro. We weren't teaming. We were doing single stuff. But still, like, that weekend, we knew we were locked down. But I feel like when we were at Excite on March 7th, nobody was really talking about it, right?
Right. No, I mean, we kind of – there was talk that there it was, like, you know, around and whatnot. But I don't think we knew we were about to get locked down.
Yeah, it was known that it was going on in the world. But it was like, oh, okay, it was still overseas or whatnot, or it was just starting. But, like, no one was wearing masks or talking about masks or anything. But, and like, that's crazy. Within 1 week, we knew, oh, the next show we were doing was going to be our last one.
Yeah, for sure. But, and by the way, not to gloss over this Dark Order match with all this talk about pandemic, is this match with Alex Reynolds and John Silver, if you can get your hands on it, I think it's on IWTV.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, go check out the Excite 8th Anniversary show for us against Alex Reynolds and John Silver. The back end of this match is wild and woolly.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to gloss it over, but yeah, it was a hell of a match, and it was crazy. We were in main event, like, you know what I mean? I haven't wrestled for Excite all too much. You a little bit more, but still something that we're fairly recent to. But yeah, we got to main event against the Dark Order, and we had a banger. It was fun. I dug it.
Yeah, banger, and that's the end of pre-pandemic times. But those, I mean, that was a, and so we didn't do anything together in January. January was light in general. Well, we did both go to AEW, and you were incredible Atlas Security.
Yeah, bro, Atlas Security. What you know about it, bro? I take care of that ringside. Nobody's getting through.
But from the AIW show, our first tag match of the year, which was beginning of February, these are all in a row every weekend. Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, I know. Things were picking up. The schedule was getting full. It sucks because I deleted all, like, what would have been. My schedule just says now is what I did in the year. But, I mean, I know I had bookings. I don't think we had anything super solid other than we knew we were going to Florida. We knew since we had won in AIW, we would have the PME match in Tampa was where it was supposed to happen. I had just bought tickets, I think. I think it was like March 3rd or something. I bought tickets real late or something. And then, yeah, like a week later, so they were like, yeah, no one's going anywhere. Shut down. Ba-boom. I got sent home from work, what was it, March 20th? It was just crazy, man. The world got a little nuts there. You know what I mean? At my day job, all of a sudden, people were like, what's going on? Are we going to get sent home? And then it went from, are we going to, you definitely are, to, yeah, man, stuff got crazy. And then it was like, okay, what's going to happen with wrestling? Like, everybody was just smart and was like, all right, everybody just shut down.
Yeah, and like you look at my first match back was a couple weeks before yours. I did Black Label at the end of August, but our first match back was the AIW show, the match that was moved from Tampa to Indianapolis on the AIW. I assure you, we're open the doubleheader with GCW, where we took.
September 9th, all the way. That's how far. We went. We jumped from March 7th to September 9th.
Yeah, that's easily the longest. So my gap of matches is the 14th of March to the 22nd of August. That's definitely the longest I've ever been without doing a show.
Oh, yeah, me too. Definitely. I went, mine was March 14th, then yeah, I didn't come back until September 9th at AIW Outdoors in Indianapolis versus PME, where I was going to say we had good weather, but technically during the match at some point I remember being laid out on the grass and feeling rain upon me and being like, okay, I guess this is happening.
I broke my face one time, had metal plates put in, and still missed less time than this pandemic caused me to miss.
Oh, absolutely. I think if you put all of my like time offs together could fit in there. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not one of those guys who's super busy and has like every single weekend, but I'm saying over 16, okay, maybe more, but I don't know. It was definitely a big chunk of time that I was not used to. But okay, can I say one silver lining? One silver lining. Okay, during that time off,
Sure.
my shoulder, which was a little banged up, got way better. My brain, which had been a little bit concussed, got no more of those during those 6 to 7 months off. So, I mean, there are silver linings, people. I understand, you know, it sucks. We missed it, but, you know, our bodies got to heal up.
Not mine.
Oh, what? You hurt yours? Yours got banged up due to inactivity?
I don't know. My elbow that was bothering me like last year, and by last year I'm talking like 2019, still tender.
Okay. I don't know. Me, I
I was lifting the other day. Couldn't I was lifting the other day. I was like, is that the same elbow? No, why?
Well, that just might be a thing that's gonna linger. But I'm just saying, I felt like the time off definitely sucked, but was good for the body. I'll just leave it at that. I'll just say it. Technically, you can't argue. It was good for people's bodies.
So, sure. Maybe mine too. Who knows? Anyways, AIW tag team title match. We were supposed to have it in Tampa. We have it in Indianapolis. It is outdoors. It is September. And we do retain for our record-setting number of AIW tag team title reigns.
Yep, number five.
We already had the record. We didn't need the record.
We're just padding at this point, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it increases my number of days as champion gap because I hold that record.
Yeah, you've had
Welcome.
your waist has been adorned with gold for a long, long time in the Cleveland area.
That's right, AIW, don't you
Even
forget
though
it.
this time we had to go to Indianapolis to get it. But we digress. It's still, oh, wow. Does it count as you being a champion in Cleveland if you won it in Indiana and lost it in Indiana? All
Yes, it sure
right. Yeah, you hear
does.
that, Cleveland? Even though you didn't get to see us wearing it in your state, it still counts. So suck it.
Yeah, there were pictures. You could see it. Yeah, Philly Marino, that was your first match back after a lengthy absence. I think it was Philly Marino's first match back after a lengthy absence. I had had a match a couple weeks prior, but I was still, you know, it's I don't want to say ring rust, but you know, when we were a little better for it than they were, I feel. I don't feel like they were off, but I feel like we can go 6 months without and kind of jump back in a little more seamlessly than some guys who have been doing it as long as the Philly Marino experience.
Exactly. That's the way I looked at it. I go, okay, like 6 to 7 months off for us having wrestled 15, 16 years is like, okay, it'll take a little speed off our fastball per se, but 6 to 7 or 8 months off for guys who've only been in a few years, that'll take a lot of speed off their fastball, you know what I mean? And it proved it so in the fact that they lost. They lost. They lost.
Yeah, timing may not have been where it needed to be, and we got him. We
But that's
got
what
him.
I was bringing up, what I wanted to get to with all that lengthy time off. I'm a finely calibrated athlete. That time off did not keep me as calibrated as I liked because I was definitely like, I have not seen this match, but if the camera's on me, once we win and I get that belt, I just collapse. And yeah, I want to say it's because, oh, I'm so emotional about winning the title, and you know, the moment got to me being a champion for the fifth time, or I was blown sky motherfucking high. I was so tired.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man. And that's when I was like, oh wow. Yeah, I guess I am a finely tuned athlete and I'm a little out of tune.
I remember after we win, I am parading around the ring with the title, and I just go over to you, and you're like, I'm so blown up. I can't even pick it up.
Yeah, at one point, I pick up the belt, and I just, like, drop it on my head, and I'm just like, I just sit in the corner. I just stare at it, smiling, because I was like, all right, we won. But I was just like, wow, my body's not prepared for this. It was definitely rough coming back. The first match back, I will say, wasn't rough physically. Like, the bumps, the bruises, the punches, the hits, that surprisingly I was okay with. Like, my body was still calloused up enough for that, but my lungs were not ready. Workouts at home during the lockdown are not the same as I get when I go to a gym and I'm lifting weights with plates and things like that. But, I mean, I kept myself in good enough shape, but yeah, I definitely had, I wouldn't say ring rust. I was just a little cardiovascularly a little out of it.
Yeah. And then we move on to just a couple weeks later, we found ourselves in lovely Shangri-La.
Oh, Shangri-La. It was a beautiful, beautiful land. Very majestic, very mystical. Yeah. Had lovely neighbors that, yeah, you know, casually would stroll by. It was quite the residential area.
We wrestled Mike Verna and Rex Lawless at the Beyond Shangri-La Magistral tapings outside under a tent next to a body of water.
Yeah, where that body of water is from, nobody knows. Or maybe a lot of people know. But regardless, it was a magical place. It was majestic. And we got to wrestle. Such and here's the thing. Okay, speaking of matches back, this was our opponent's first matches back, and I remember they were concerned about how their bodies would hang with, you know, so much time off, but it went pretty well for them, I think. What do you say?
Yeah, no, I think it went really well. They're both big guys, but neither of them are like, they're both very agile, and neither of them are like, yeah, I'm a big power guy. Even big Rex Lawless is like a dude who moves.
Bro, cookie spear, right? He'll hit it.
Cookie spear. He's got a cookie spear.
It's devastating. It almost cut me in half.
So, yeah, Vernon Lawless. By the way, did you know they were like Chikara Campeones de Pareja?
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, this was a very unique matchup in that, like, yes, they've teamed quite a bit in their circles, and we've teamed obviously quite a bit in our circles, but who would have ever thought those circles would cross? It had to be a majestic place like Shangri-La, I guess, right?
Yeah, for sure. I also would like to note on this match, I did a running Spanish fly on Rex Lawless, and one of the SATs was there and commented on my Spanish fly.
That's right. The majestic place known as Shangri-La, not foreign to the Maximos.
Nope. No, definitely not. No. But yeah. I have not recently watched this one. Semi-recently. I watched it probably a month or two after it happened, and it's enjoyable. I don't think it was our best work per se. I think we were workshopping some stuff that we've never done before, and it doesn't come out perfectly, but in the matches that come to follow in the next month, I think you see those workshop things come to fruition and pay off.
Yeah, definitely. And then, like I had said, once again, it was a team that we were not used to. They were also very worried about coming back from such a long layoff, because now at this point, okay, that was the end of September now. So they're looking at close to 8, almost 9 months off that they had. But, yeah, they brought it. They got the win. You know what I mean? They, you know, Shangri-La is a little closer to where they're from, so I guess they had a little bit of a home field advantage. I don't know, but that's the funness that you get with Beyond. You get weird matchups like that and in weird places like that. So that was fun just for the weird travel of it all, because we got to travel with Jay Freddie, who was with us. So anytime you're with that wackadoo, you know, they're always a little more fun. So it was a fun weekend. We went to a majestic place, had some good times. Stayed in the hotel with so much room. It was a ginormous hotel room for all of us. So much that Jay Freddie was doing laps in it. But yeah, it was a fun weekend.
Would you say that they had the home field advantage because Rex Lawless is the pectoral
Yes,
Poseidon and we were by a body
absolutely.
of water?
And Mike Vrna is the Man of Steel, and,
Perfect.
you know, that's all I got.
All right, moving right along. 2 weeks after that, we were at Black Label. I'm me back at Black Label, and now I have brought my friend along. The evening show of the TurboGrafx 16 tournament, we take on the best
yes,
in the
yes,
world
yes.
for the very first
Matt
time.
Matt Fitchett and Davey Vega. Okay, I'll say a team that I was probably the team I was most looking forward to wrestling eventually, because I knew eventually we'd have to wrestle them somewhat, and I knew eventually it would involve us having to drive multiple hours to achieve it, but we did. In lovely Indiana, we drove multiple hours all the way there. And, yeah, we got to wrestle them. I was looking forward to it. What about you?
Yeah, for sure. If we were going to make a list, or if I was going to make a list of – everyone loves to make lists. It's the new year. We make lists. It's what we do. We're independent pro wrestlers. But if I was going to make one, they would definitely have been on it before this. And I think –
Oh, absolutely.
This,
absolutely. But
it.
now I have demands. It's like, you people saw – it was good, and we only scratched the surface. So we got to do it again, and we got to do it a lot closer to home. So listen here, you wacky East Coast promoters. Make them drive a billion miles, and let us have the home field advantage this time. I'm just saying, we had to go all the way to the Midwest. They're kings of the Midwest. It's nonsense.
I don't even remember it being that long. It seemed like it was so effortless. That's what happens when you get two teams who kind of know what they're like, by kind of, I mean, who really know what they're doing. In the ring together, it doesn't even feel like it took effort to
absolutely. And I will say it was the most, and this is a compliment, it was the most carefree I've wrestled in. I can't even remember how long.
Yeah, I could see that. It was it was a good time. It was a good match. I really, really enjoyed this one. And it there's, like you said earlier, there's still so much we can do with them. Watching the match back, I just remember thinking, oh, we didn't even do this. Oh, they didn't even do this. There's still so many things that that are in our arsenal and in their arsenal that didn't even get touched. So the next one.
Exactly.
Can go,
you know what I mean? And
holy
it's one
nuts.
Of those things where, like, you know what I mean? There's just a feeling like, okay, you'll understand what I'm saying. I've definitely wrestled either singles or tag and been like, oh, like, and I wrestled them the first time and been like, that's as good as it's going to get. You know what I mean? Where you're like, yeah, I could wrestle this person or team again and it would be different, yes, technically, and maybe as good. But you know what I mean? Like, you just feel that you hit the ceiling right away. With them, I was like, oh, no, this isn't the ceiling. This is just scratching the surface.
No, it was a great match. And, yeah, we're not even close to the ceiling. That might be baseline what the four of us can do. That might be
yeah, it was awesome. And plus, I was personally looking forward to going back to Black Label because what you had done it the month before, but previous to that, we had only done it one other time. So I was like, ooh, it's definitely like on my list to get back there. So I was very excited when, sure enough, even though it took a pandemic, but, you know, they were running and they came a-calling and we were ready. And, yeah, the besties, that was fun. I dug it. I would love to do it again, you know, if it has to be in Black Label, that's fine, or anywhere. But, yeah, maybe a little closer to home. I'm just saying.
And not to break any more hearts of matches that was supposed to happen but then got canceled, but as the world shut back down again, there was a Black Label show that we were supposed to do, and the match was supposed to be us against Top.
But I questioned that just because I knew their schedule, oddly, I thought, looked like it might get full.
Yeah, I did. I told them that they got to save us a dance.
Because it was right around that time the world got shut down. But then they got a call from AEW, and they called them and they watched them wrestle and signed them right on up. So who knows if we'll get that match again? But we'll eventually. Let's say that
we'll get it. We'll get it. So at 1 week later, we are back.
Now let me
Indiana.
Tell you, people, let's take a moment to just appreciate that 2020, like, you know, is a little bit of a black hole, but such a black hole that we had to go back to back weekends driving this Okay, this was in Indianapolis, so this was what, only 8 hours as opposed to Fort Crown, which is 9 hours. So, ooh, we got a 1 hour respite and no time change. But man, let me tell you, for a couple boys from New York, a state, yes, we traveled, but not necessarily that goddamn far. Back to back weekends, having to drive 8+ hours, and me being the stick man, whoo, was not easy. Right? Because even you said, you were like, I don't know how many more of these you got in you, at least up for that year, correct?
Yeah. So I don't mind the long drives when they are broken up by shorter drives. But when it is long drive after long drive after long drive, because you got to remember that only 2 weeks before that, we went to Shangri-La, which was just about as far as driving to Indianapolis. So it was like 1 week off from that, then Crown Point, then Indianapolis. So there was no
it was pretty relentless. And like, we do break it up when we go. Like, we got into a good groove of driving a huge chunk the first night, getting a hotel somewhere. Ooh! Which brings me to slight tangent. I gotta go there. We did learn that there's a big difference as far as 3 stars goes. Like, 3 stars in Dayton? Good. 3 stars in North Columbus? Not good. So, something you just learned when you were driving back and forth to Indiana every week. Yeah, we were trying to get as far as we could into Ohio. And yeah, stay to places like Dayton and North Columbus and places like that. And oh, the places you'll go.
So, I book my hotels on Hotwire. I just get like the Hotwire hot rate for like, you know, because usually the Hotwire hot rate is like a 3-star hotel for like $60 or whatever it was. And that's the case here. It was like $60, 3 stars. I try not to dip too low on the star rating. I know it doesn't totally matter, but, you know, there is usually a pretty decent difference between like a 2-star or a 3-star, or even a 3-star to a 3.5-star. So I was like,
yeah, and it works great. I'm not dogging it, but yeah, I agree. We do it. It's a great thing. It works, but boy, it's just, you know, we literally learned, and unfortunately, we learned it the backwards way, where it was like, ooh, we went to a, like a 3-star, and it was super duper nice. We were like, wow, okay. So the next weekend, we were like, oh, 3 stars worked out great last weekend. Oh, we're in a different town. How different could it be? Oh, it could be a lot different. Like, for example, they're like, people say like, oh, it was a roach motel. Yeah. Like, technically, when I woke up in the morning and grabbed something off the desk, a roach jumped out. It happened. I wasn't traumatized. It is what it is. But I was like, okay, you get what you pay for. I appreciated there was an abandoned miniature golf course next to the building, which I got to inspect on my walks while I was, you know, patrolling the streets, we'll say. And so that was enjoyable. But yeah, the accommodations, remember you showed me, you were like, oh, did you see the gym? And it was just like a 30-pound dumbbell, but like the old school ones with like sand in it and like a little stationary bike. And I was like, hell of a gym, hell of a gym.
Yeah. That's the first time I've ever wrote Hotwire an email and was like, hey, because I'm not that guy. But I was like, hey, I don't really have an issue. Like, the hotel, it is what it is. I mean, I guess you get what you pay for, but you can't advertise this hotel as 3 stars.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. And, like, we all understand, once again, we're in pandemic. Things are different. You know, you got to wear masks, and then this was hand sanitizer was going crazy and yada, yada, yada. But, like, yeah, this place definitely wasn't 3 stars. But, you know, it did the job.
It did the job, and we go on to our last weekend of 2020 for us, which was October 9th.
And that's
we had
right.
Two matches
and then one of those
one
matches
day.
Had multiple falls, so that's kind of like multiple matches. I'm just saying you could be one of those people if you wanted.
That's true. We had exactly. 4 matches in one day. So we start with our first time wrestling for Sup Graps at Sup Swing the Axe.
Yeah, it was 12 o'clock, yes.
Noon show, right? The 12 o'clock noon show where we wrestle in the opener against the Sup Tag Team Champions. Violence is Forever. Dominic.
Yeah,
Arena,
it was cool.
Kevin
I never thought, you know, I never thought I'd be like, oh yeah, you know, I wrestled for, you know, these titles in Nashville, but like technically that's what I was doing, so that was kind of cool. I like me some Nashville. I like me some Southern style, but we had to fight these grapple fuck idiots who wanted to wrestle and beat us up and blah blah blah. But it was fun. I dug it. They debuted some sweet looking purple belts, and I was like, that matches our gear. Maybe we should just get them. Yada yada yada.
It's one of my
yeah,
dark
me too.
Horse
surprisingly, not well, not even surprising. It's just like it was a unique matchup, like you said. First time wrestling Violence is Forever. First time wrestling for Southern Underground Pro. You know what I mean? It was a lot of variables, but totally worked out in our favor, oddly.
Yeah. I don't know what about it. I just think everything about it worked. I had seen Guarini and Ku, and I enjoy them both, but I had seen them have some outings that I wasn't high on at Black Label. So I remember going into this match with a little bit of that knowledge in my back pocket. And I think what we put out there was way better than what I'd seen at Black Label. And I was very happy with the whole thing altogether.
Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah. So what he's saying is that they stunk versus other people. They wrestled us and had a good match because we're the common denominator because we gave them the goddamn treatment. And that's why it looks so goddamn good. But regardless, I'm just saying it was a fun match. No, they held up their end, but you know, it was fun. I just like Doug and Dom. I'm sorry, people. It's a thing that I enjoy very much. Oh my God. Which brings me to, do you know how pissed off I was when you hit the goddamn melt, when he looks like a melted Dave Meltzer line. And I was so, I've been saving that for a goddamn promo and you just hit it out of the blue and people were like, they all understood. I was like, son of a bitch.
He's dogging you.
I know.
You weren't coming.
I know,
to your
but I was
rescue.
Just like it was the weird emotions of happy, angry, pissed, betrayed, you know, that all ran through me in that moment.
Yeah, that match also created one of my favorite vanity search tweets that I've ever found. It was like, is that moderately in shape guy Colin Delaney? ? Followed by And
oh yeah, I remember you showed me that. You're like, bro, you gotta see these tweets. And the first one was like, he recognizes you. And the second one is like, and his partner's Cheech. And I was like, oh my God, this is some old school ass fan. Which is like, I was looking forward to because it's just weird at this point. I don't know if this happens to you, being introduced to new fans still. Like, I don't know, that still blows my mind a lot of times. Like, recently, I don't know, a couple weeks ago or something, I was reading stuff. I was getting pissed off at how many people were like, oh, I'm still around. I was like, of course I'm still around, you cocksuckers. And I'm way better than I was. I'm fucking awesome now. And these fucking shitheads are like, oh, it's like he wrestled, he did some Evolve, and then we never saw him again. And I was like, motherfuckers, I haven't stopped doing anything. Ah, I'm sorry, tangent. But yeah, we were wrestling Dom and Ku, and it was great, and it was fun, because now some people, like the Southern Underground Pro fans, now suddenly got exposure to us. You know what I mean? There were a lot of good gifts off that match. I know that's what the kids are into these days. So yeah, there were some good gifts off it.
Yeah, I'm excited when
exactly.
The
I want to go to Nashville. That'd be so cool.
Calling. Yeah, for sure. Now we've got the blueprint. Now we'll head down.
Exactly,
to
exactly. We learned. We've learned now. Now that we've tussled with them, we know what we're up against. Because that's the thing. Like, you know, for example, we know Dom. He's an AIW kid. I wrestled him one time. It might have been one of the shows you couldn't make. I think, or were you on that one? One time I wrestled. Was Dom and Tracy. Oh, okay. So then, yeah, like I said, we know Dom. The weird X factor in that whole thing was Ku, and I thought he was fine. He held up his end. I thought he was great. I had a good time with him.
Yeah. No, like I said, we had a lot of good matches this year. That
yeah,
might
yeah
be
definitely
my
up there.
Favorite though.
And then that's in two.
And then we end our 2020 calendar with 2 out of 3 falls for the AIW tag team titles against the Philly.
These sons of bitches. My first match back from pandemic and my last match in the pandemic. I can't get rid of these guys.
Yeah, we and Thorne talks about it on the AIW podcast.
Yes, I believe so.
Is going to change. Is that what it's called? How, you know, when he was putting these matches together, he paired us together because we were the hot hand. We were the sure thing. The one thing I am disappointed about this year is I don't think we delivered with PME like we were delivering with PME.
Yes, I agree. But I do think there are certain variables. Like, for example, like, okay, this 2 out of 3 falls match I thought was good. I thought it would have been better if it was in the Odeon, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there were certain things where it was like, oh, if we were in our home arena, in front of our hometown fans and our crowd, like, it would have just amplified it. You know what I mean? Do you agree or disagree?
Right. No, I agree. But I don't think that we only work good with PME at the Odeon. I don't think that. I just think I think the atmosphere would have been better. I think that I don't know. I think we had a lot of variables in this 2 out of 3 falls match that kind of went against us. And it's definitely, I don't want to, it didn't leave a sour taste in my mouth because I still thought it was a fine match. But I just I beat myself up. I think it could have been better. I know what we are capable of.
I totally agree. I understand. You know, there was a little frustration with, of course, the loss, and then, you know, just the overall match itself. But once again, like, I don't know, hindsight, it's a lot easier in hindsight. I know in the moment you were definitely frustrated. I'm not as much, but that's just the way I am after matches. I know you not so much. But yeah, we lost the belt. It sucked, but you know, it was a short 5th reign. But pandemic be what pandemic be, and yeah,
I expect a lot of myself and matches that I have. And I'm not saying that my matches are always the best, but I'm saying that I have an expectation for myself. I think that's it, really. And I think that sometimes that expectation is that's what's getting me. That's why I'm beating myself up, not because of the match itself, because of my
I agree. And I feel like if myself. There's any onus on this match or any weight to bear, it's on our shoulders, you know what I mean? But you know what I mean, that was the thing. When we're looking at variables, we were also facing guys who were relatively new. We had a very young referee in there with us. We also had show restrictions where, you know, things maybe got cut in half, maybe. I don't know. But, you know what I mean? There were definitely variables to deal with. But I was still proud of the match we put out there. But, yes, I agree. We could have done better. But it was just also – it was just a confluence of events. You know what I mean? We're at the Collective, which is a weird situation. We were in 2 out of 3 falls. It was PME. It was late in a match right before there was going to be a barbed wire gimmick. I don't know.
We also wrestled at noon, and we were the first match on the noon show, and then we were almost the last match on the 9 p.m. or the 8 p.m. show. So by the time we got back around to wrestling, it's 9 o'clock. We had 9 hours off between matches, and that may not seem like a lot to some people, but it's weird to get. To cool down like that and to cool down for that amount of time and then try and go right back out there. You know, I was trying to stay moving all day, but you literally can't stay moving for 9 hours. You can't stay warm for 9 hours.
Yeah, so no, I kind of knew that. I definitely cooled off as much as I could and then just treated it. I tried to almost treat it like 2 days. But yeah, I wouldn't blame that. I didn't have too much of an issue with it. Did you find that it was tougher having the second match?
I don't think it was tougher. I just think that, like, yeah, it was a weird long layover between. It was abnormal there was a lot of circumstances is what I'm saying. But still, even with all those circumstances, I hold myself to a higher standard than I feel like we put out. And the match is good. It's not even there's nothing.
No, no, and that's rightfully so. Of course, you know what I mean. Like, I of course want. We always try to have the best match. Was that our best match? Probably not. So of course, you know, there's more meat on the bone, but not necessarily an AIW. I think, you know what I mean. We've wrestled a bajillion times. Then we got to let that cool off for a bit. But yeah, it was what it was. It was quite the 2020.
All right. All right, what was your – so we've listed a bunch of them which we really liked. What do you think your favorite was? What do you think our best –
The best one I – who? Oh, no. Best one's Bear Country in ESW. Yeah, I think that's the best one. I think that's the best one. I wouldn't necessarily say that's – I wouldn't say that's my favorite per se, but I think that's probably the best one.
Okay, interesting. I honestly don't know. I have a lot of – I do think we had a lot of great matches this year, and I have a lot of bests. Like I said, that Dark Order match is great. The Dom and Koo match is almost flawless. It's one of those matches that went exactly as
Yeah, no,
intended,
it was a really good match. It's definitely up there.
Yeah, so I just think we had a bunch of really good ones, and if I had to pick. Man, and that Besties one. The only reason the Besties one doesn't get the automatic nod is because I literally think the next time we wrestle them will be 10 times better. And if you saw the match we had,
well, yeah,
them,
that's the thing. Like their match, I feel, was a good match, but also not even, I was going to say reeks of, but it doesn't really reek of. It's just, it's very much a first match time. You know what I mean? First time match. It's just a cold. Here's Team A versus Team B. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's no, like, when we wrestled Bear Country, it was a little different because it was like, okay, they were in our hometown. They had, you know, like we had said, they had the evil local comedian guy who, you know, came out and ran down the crowd, and we had the local good guy. I mean, like, we had dynamics. The only dynamic we really had versus the Bestie was like, oh, okay, we were wrestling them for the Black Label titles, but, like, they had just won them, so even they were relatively new to the Black Label crowd. We were definitely new to the Black Label crowd, but we were both two good tag teams, so we did put on a good match. But, yeah, it just has that very – it has the first matchup vibe, whereas, like we said, with Bear Country, we had wrestled them before. Like, Dom and Koo, I think, was – not so much an aberration. It was like we know Dom, so we're comfortable with him. And then Koo just was great, so it was easy for him to just slide in. PME, we've wrestled a billion times, so of course it was easy to have good matches with them. Reynolds and Silver, I just think the Reynolds and Silver was probably really good because they're similar to us. They've been around a long time. They've been a team a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Reynolds and Silver one is the Reynolds and Silver one, and the Dom and Koo match are probably my favorites of 2020. I mean, and that's probably only because you said the Bear Country match, which is definitely one of my favorites. That match, the crowd is so much of it. That match on ESW Second Coming, also available on IWTV. So, pretty much all these matches we talked about, with the exception of a small handful, are available on IWTV. So, if you feel so inclined, check them out. Let us know.
Yeah. Then even if they're not, some of them are definitely like on YouTube. Like, I know the one with the natural disasters is on YouTube. The Shangri-La match is on YouTube. I think there are others, but I mean, you could definitely, those ones definitely are on there. But yeah, if not, I know the other ones are definitely on IWTV. You can see like yeah. Okay, don't sleep on the early one, the AIW, that four-way was pretty bonkers. So yeah, that one I definitely like. Even though it was stressful, I definitely dug that one just for the sheer athleticism, just running amok.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're not wrong. There's I think let me tally it up real quick. 1, 2. 3-1, 4-1, 5-1.
Gonna go.
2, 3.
I was gonna
four.
Say,
we
man,
five
like,
and four, nine matches,
we
five
definitely
and four.
Had our second half was really cool. We got to wrestle in some really cool places, but we definitely didn't win a lot. I was like, oh man, I really liked our second half. We got to wrestle in it. Like, that was the one thing. 2020 was, like I said, a black hole of a year, but I'm glad I got to hit some cool places. Like going to Black Label, going to Beyond, hitting up Southern Underground Pro. Who would have thought? I would not have thought if you would have said, "Oh, in 2020, you'll wrestle at Sup Grabs." I'll be like, "Oh, really?" But I did. It was great, and then we got a cool 2 out of 3 falls match. Like for a black hole of a year, it turned out pretty cool because I got to wrestle at some pretty. You know, what I mean, I always want to wrestle in like the hit places, and we got to wrestle in a lot of hit places.
Yeah, and I think we set ourselves up pretty well to do more of that whenever the world.
Oh my God! Please open up.
Acceptable.
I'm dying here. Like, okay, 6-7 months off. Okay, cool. This is new. I'll heal up. This is a new thing. Now it just feels like old hat. I was like, no. I want to go back to things.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully soon. And speaking of going back to things,
you damn right, baby.
We are back to regular format, Cheech. We're doing it. We absolutely have not chosen a team. Our brains have not functioned in many ways enough to get that wrapped around. But we will discuss. We will get together and come up with a team.
Yep.
And
until then, adios.
We'll see you guys next week.